Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 6, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On ProWrestling.net today, results of the WWE SmackDown live event in Tyler, Texas, my WWE Raw hit list, the latest WWE Roadblock pay-per-view lineup, and we should have viewership information shortly coming up regarding WWE Raw. Coming up after the short break for non-members, we will discuss AJ Styles missing last night's house show due to an injury, plus tonight's SmackDown live television show, 205 Live, last night's WWE Raw, and more. WWE SmackDown Live features AJ Styles versus James Ellsworth for the WWE Championship. Maybe. AJ Styles suffered an ankle injury during the TLC main event and missed last night's house show in Tyler, Texas. He was pulled from the show, and it became a triple threat main event with Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, and Ambrose all in a fighting over the Intercontinental Championship. Hopefully, they're just erring on the side of caution when it comes to AJ, and this isn't going to be a nagging ankle injury. If you're a sports fan, then I'm sure, like me, you're familiar with the words dreaded high ankle sprain. Now, I haven't heard exactly what the nature of this ankle injury is. I bring that one up because that's one that tends to linger. There's certainly worse ankle injuries to suffer, but that one can be a drag. And again, at this point, we don't know the severity of the injury, and WWE is still advertising him for this show. That said, regardless of the injury, if he gets out there, I don't know that it means that, oh, everything's fine, because I don't expect this to be a real match anyway. With Ellsworth turning on Dean Ambrose at TLC, that makes him a heel, and so I guess I'll kind of be surprised if there's a full-length heel versus heel match between Ambrose and Ellsworth, and my guess is that Ellsworth ends up aligned with AJ Styles somehow. My co-host yesterday on this show, Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com, he didn't think it was going to go that way. It still remains my guess, though. I think Ellsworth can be a good sidekick for Styles, and if they go that way, I'm kind of curious to see how they get them on that same side. Now that Ellsworth cost Ambrose the match, with the idea being that he did so because he has AJ's number, and he thinks he can beat AJ Styles after beating him three times. So how do they get from that, where he's gunning for AJ, to suddenly they're aligned? We'll see. SmackDown is an interesting show tonight, in that I'm kind of curious to see if they turn the page on some of these programs that they've been doing for months now and move on to some fresh ones. And I think we'll see Becky Lynch get her rematch. Where do they go from there once she gets it? She may even regain the championship. I think the one to watch as far as the titles, SmackDown titles are concerned, is, I guess, the tag titles. Because, yeah, Heath Slater and Rhino will probably get their rematch at some point, too. But I just don't see Slater and Rhino remaining in that tag title picture on a regular basis. I think it's finally time for American Alpha to become the top challengers. I'm also curious to see, where do the Usos fit in? I mean, they didn't even crack the kickoff show for the pay-per-view. They were just completely left off that show. So where does Baron Corbin go from here? So I think it's going to be an interesting night on SmackDown. It doesn't mean they're going to just completely shake everything up tonight, but I think in the weeks ahead, we're bound to see some new programs, and I guess we'll find out more about Nikki Bella's mystery attacker. Is it Natalya, as Carmella says? Is she a damn liar, like Natalya says? We'll see. As for 205 Live tonight, the main event is a rematch with Rich Swann defending the WWE Cruiserweight Championship against Brian Kendrick. This was announced as Kendrick exercising his rematch clause after dropping the title last week. I wouldn't be surprised if we get Jack Gallagher against Ari Daivari in another rematch. They did that post-match angle with Daivari attacking the Extraordinary Gentleman's knee after their match on Raw. Now, it's possible they just saved this match for Raw. We had it last week on 205 Live. We had it again last night on Raw. So maybe they save it for Raw, because otherwise you're going to have the second edition of 205 Live is going to feature two rematches from the three matches that they had on the premiere edition, because we saw this match last week. The official preview for the show on WWE's website is also asking which wrestler could make his debut on 205 Live. And it's not that they're teasing like a surprise appearance, but I think it's more like one of the regular roster members who simply hasn't worked on the 205 Live show. Based on the people who appeared on the stage last week when they were introduced but didn't actually wrestle, I think I've got the list here. The names would the names that appeared who didn't actually wrestle are TJ Perkins, Noam Dar, Ho-Ho Loon, Cedric Alexander, Lince Dorado, Grand Metalik, Mustafa Ali, and Akira Tozawa. So I'm guessing we see one or more of those wrestlers pop up on the show tonight, given what they wrote on the or in the official preview. Also, just a brief update on the status of the WWE pre-shows in case you missed it. They're still a thing. Kinda. Sorta. I got an email alert last night about 10 minutes before Raw started that the pre-show was beginning on YouTube. I'm like, did they screw up? It's weird. I mean, all right, I'd kind of just, once 6:30 came and went my time, I'm like, all right, it's official. They're not doing it on YouTube or anything like that. Well, they're doing a very brief pre-show. It was hosted by, they're billing Charlie Caruso as the new host. Booker T also appeared. I don't know if he's going to be a regular or not, but they just kind of announced a couple of lower-end Raw matches and then showed a brief angle with Bayley, Alicia Fox, and Cedric Alexander to set up that Bayley and Fox match. They had Titus O'Neil hyping the tussle in Texas and being a pest. So in other words, it was kind of a waste of 5 to 7 minutes, however long this show went. But yeah, it looks like the Scott Stanford-hosted version of the show with Booker T, Lita, and Jerry Lawler is finished. Let's move into my WWE Raw hit list. As always, the hit list appears in print form on the website, and I read it here just to make life easier for those of you who don't have time for a long-form article to maybe you're at work, and it's just easier to listen. If you have already checked it out, that's cool. Skip ahead. I will give some bonus thoughts on last night's WWE Raw once the hit list is over. We start with the hits, Charlotte and Ric Flair. This could have been a turning point in the career of Charlotte. She was emotional, and it was easy to buy into her apology to her father. The live crowd was merciless with the what chants, but I still believe the viewing audience would have accepted this as a babyface turn if her character had been sincere. By laying it on so thick, WWE better be committed to Charlotte as a long-term heel, because it's going to be really tough to come back from that. What could she possibly say that the fans would believe? It was a strong heel move for Charlotte, and only time will tell whether it was the right move to keep her the heel in her feud with rough around the edges babyface Sasha Banks. The beatdown of Banks at the end was well done, and while their feud is really being run into the ground, I am looking forward to the 30-minute Iron Man match at Roadblock. Next hit is Roman Reigns against Chris Jericho for the U.S. Championship. Jericho continues to get the best out of Reigns in the ring. They worked a strong match, and it didn't even include the groan moment of Reigns being run into the ring steps, which seems to be a required element in each of his matches. It was easy to buy into the tease of Jericho winning with help from Owens. After all, Reigns is challenging for the Universal Championship at Roadblock, so taking the title off him before then seemed at least possible. And Owens helping Jericho capture the only title that's eluded him, I think would have put them back on the same page. Instead, the Owens interference backfired and kept their breakup story alive. I just hope that it's not a big swerve or that the two of them somehow get back on the same page just in time for Jericho to interfere in the Roadblock main event. Next up is Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn in a non-title match. It's a shame that this match was merely mentioned in passing by Owens during the opening segment. It should be a big deal when these two wrestle, and they really should have been kept apart from one another via the draft to make their next feud more meaningful. All of that said, Owens desperately needs his in-ring credibility restored after winning most of his title defenses with help from Chris Jericho, and this win was a step in the right direction. Up next, Jack Gallagher and Arya Daivari is our final hit. Gallagher is the early standout of the cruiserweight division. He doesn't have a sad story like all the other babyfaces, and he's not out there performing a bunch of rapid-fire high spots. In other words, he's unique. And that's why he stands out. The post-match angle set the stage for a likely rematch on tonight's 205 Live or on next week's Raw. It's nice to see them put some heat on a heel other than Brian Kendrick, though I suspect Gallagher will simply avenge this loss and move on quickly. Into the WWE Raw Misses section, we start with Enzo Amore being attacked by Rusev in the hotel. Bada boom, most gullible guy in the room. Let's review this saga, shall we? Enzo shamelessly exposed himself to another man's wife. He made no attempt to cover himself and instead tried to flirt with the married woman. Enzo then allowed himself to be seduced by the married woman. It wasn't a moment of weakness. This guy had time to call Uber, which doesn't even operate in Austin, Texas, and then borrow Ric Flair's limo to travel to the hotel, where he couldn't resist the urge of hooking up with the married woman behind her husband's back. Enzo Amore is a horrible person. He and Cass were also the only people who didn't figure out where this was all going. The next miss is Seth Rollins against Big Show. The slimmer show looked great, and this seemed like good use of the big man. They lost me, though, when he walked out of his match and took the count out. I get that he was letting fellow babyface Rollins get a piece of Owens, but it's hard to take Show's return seriously when he was content to take a loss in his first match back from a long way off. Next miss, Rich Swann against TJ Perkins in a non-title match. It wasn't a bad match. It just, I expected more from the top two babyfaces of the division. Is this quick and decisive loss a sign that Perkins is no longer a major player in the division? Next miss, Bayley against Alicia Fox. Bayley Bears? I'm sure these will be big sellers, but I hope Bayley doesn't have to pass these out on a weekly basis because it makes her look like a merchandise shill. Raw has 3 hours plus to work with, yet they aired the Bayley Fox and Cedric Alexander angle on the new and now more meaningless than ever pre-show rather than on Raw. The next miss is Mark Henry and Titus O'Neil. Someone seems to find humor in the Titus brand gimmick. I'm not in on the joke. I have no idea what they found funny about him passing out Tussle in Texas flyers or being squashed in short order. They've never even explained this gimmick. It's just Titus walking around talking about the Titus brand. Final miss, Sheamus and Cesaro against Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. New Day is a week away from breaking the record for the longest title reign in WWE history as far as the tag division is concerned. So why didn't we hear from them on this show? Meanwhile, the only people in the world who didn't know that the finish was going to lead to a triple threat seemed to be the broadcast team. I hate when the voice of the show comes off 5 steps behind the viewers. Why not have Michael Cole simply say that he had his suspicions regarding how Mick Foley would settle this, but we'd find out officially after the break. Hey, before we get into my bonus thoughts on Raw, the members are listening to my full-length audio review of the Raw show and the 50-minute edition of the Q&A audio show. I answer their pro wrestling questions to start and then have some fun with their non-wrestling questions, including the Walking Dead questions of the week on the back end of things. They are also listening to my audio review of Ring of Honor's Final Battle show and the WWE TLC audio review that Jake Barnett and I recorded over the weekend. Join us on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net by visiting the main page, finding the sign-up area. Once you're in there, seeing those three different pricing options, $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. Of course, you can save some money by signing up for either the six-month or annual option. The annual option whittles that price down to an average of $5.50 a month, so you are saving $2 a month just by committing to a one-year .net membership. If you have any questions on anything, as always, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet, or feel free to email me at dotnetjason@gmail.com. And now for those Raw bonus thoughts. As much as I enjoyed the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn match, I thought the finish was kind of puzzling in that Owens ends up taking an exploder suplex into the barricade. And then he gets up, and the very next move is him hitting the pop-up powerbomb, kind of out of nowhere back inside the ring. It's not something people are going to remember, it just doesn't feel like the exploder suplex into a barricade is a move that should be portrayed as being just extremely punishing, if nothing else. It doesn't mean you have to sell it like, you know, the guy's injured long-term or anything like that. You could, and that's kind of the thing. Like, if we've seen Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins be taken out by power bombs into under the ring apron, an exploder suplex into the barricade feels like it's kind of right there on that level. And again, you don't have to make it seem like this is it doesn't have to be part of an injury angle, but it could. But at the very least, it shouldn't just lead to the very next move being the guy who takes the move, hitting his finisher for the win. I'm not a fan of the approach WWE took by not having some sort of an excuse for the cameras being present inside Lana's hotel room. That whole scene with Enzo Amore and Rusev. And really, you know, I talked recently about handheld cameras and how they could have used those to kind of just make things feel more realistic. I don't even remember the exact scene. It was just within the last couple of weeks. But anyway, in this case, they could have done that too. They could have had handheld footage given to the broadcast team by Rusev and Lana. So it's not playing out as if it's live, but instead, Cass is in the ring, and then maybe they show it on the big screen. Hey, here's what just happened. What happened earlier tonight. But they didn't do that. Maybe even it's Lana tells Enzo that, hey, don't worry about the camera. I asked for that to be present because I want to send Rusev or teach him a lesson. Because that's what she talked about doing when she was kind of, you know, flirting with Kat or with Enzo and trying to lure him to the hotel room. And I would call this lazy that they don't come up with the excuse, but I don't think it's that. I just think they have a different philosophical approach. I don't think they feel it matters. I think they should. I really wish they would, because I think it just kind of keeps viewers in the moment by adding a sense of realism to it. It just looks hokey. Like, okay, they're in this room and they're making out and, oh, or, well, I don't even know if they made it to the makeout part, but you know what I'm saying? And they're not even knowing the cameras are there. I just think it's silly. Why is Neville on Raw? I do bring this up a lot, but it's literally the last place he should be. I was thinking about this today, and I mean, he could be, I think, at least a temporary high-end player on SmackDown. Again, even if it's a short-term thing, because I'd really like to see AJ Styles face Neville. I think that would be a hell of a match. And I think you could get a good month of television at the very least out of that. You could take that to pay-per-view because I think the matches would be so dynamic that Neville would win people over. If you don't like that, he could be a featured player on 205 Live. He is, you know, he's cruiserweight size. He could easily be on that show. For that matter, he could go back to NXT and be featured prominently. On Raw, he works like superstars matches, or maybe he puts somebody over. And I don't mind if he's putting people over if it's a key job, because I think a guy that he could really help right now is Kevin Owens. And I think he's actually put him over since he's won the championship. It's like him and Sami Zayn are the two guys that they'll use to kind of give someone an in-ring credibility boost. But, you know, I would like to see them come up with an angle so that the match means something and it's not just, oh, Kevin Owens is about to beat Neville. You know, give us something to set that up. Give Neville a little something to make it feel like it doesn't have to be for the title, but that he is, you know, he's a player in this. He and Owens had some issue, and then let Owens beat him clean if you're not going to do anything with him. But I just think Neville is wasted. But they're not using him, and it's not like there's this long list of guys that Kevin Owens can beat clean in quality television matches to regain that in-ring credibility. I do wonder if that's what they're doing with Big Show. You know, him walking out last night, him having the after having the issues with Kevin Owens, are they going to let Kevin Owens beat Big Show? Or is it going to be kind of more of the same Owens, you know, some kind of a fluky win, or just Owens walking out of the match and it's forgotten? I just think that that's been the thing that's really been missing from the Kevin Owens title reign. And I've said, you know, I said from the start, I was okay with the way he won the championship because I just didn't see WWE treating him like an all-out force, even if I think they could and should. I didn't think they were going to. I didn't think they were going to position him as this badass heel who can hang on his own. But I didn't think it would be this bad. I guess, lastly, as far as the bonus thoughts go, and I really didn't even mean to put it in this order, but I was sitting there going, all right, I'm forgetting something. Oh, yeah, I know what it is. How appropriate. Is anybody talking about Triple H against Seth Rollins today? I mean, you'd think that Rollins calling out a WWE Hall of Fame legend and all this in the opening segment of Raw would get people buzzing. But I just don't feel like there's any sense of excitement about Rollins and Hunter coming out of the show. And I don't know when they're going to have this match. Are they, I don't think they're going to have it at Roadblock. So are they loading up the Royal Rumble? Is this going to help sell some tickets to the Alamo Dome? Are they saving this for Mania? Based on the way Rollins talked about the way to get to Hunter is to beat Kevin Owens, it does make me feel like they're going to drag this out a little bit. I would hope it's not a title match. I don't think it needs to be a title match, but no matter when this is, they do have their work cut out for them because this is not a major selling point for any show right now. Maybe if it were like the Raw February show or early March, I don't know exactly when they're going to have their, you know, exclusive pay-per-view between the Rumble and WrestleMania. Yeah, then it gives a little boost to that show, and it's possible they have that in mind. But this was a match they wanted to have at last year's WrestleMania. Rollins got hurt, and so I just kind of assume they've just pushed it back to this year. But again, they have a lot of work to do to make this feel big time because right now it just doesn't. Lastly today, please remember to subscribe to our daily podcast. Take the time to rate and review us on iTunes. I can't tell you how much that helps when people go out of their way to do that. It only takes a minute, but you are helping spread the word about the site, just as you are when I put the link out on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net and you give it a quick retweet. A number of you guys do that. I am grateful for it. I appreciate it. A big thanks to everybody who has helped out in some way, shape, or form. That will do it for today. The plan is for tomorrow. I will likely be by with a review of either WWE SmackDown or WWE 205 Live. I can tell you right now that .NET members will hear both reviews. You guys may hear one on the All Access side. I just want to make sure that Will and Jake don't have something planned that I'm unaware of, but I think one way or another you will hear one of those shows. But again, members hear both, and I gave you the membership information earlier. Any more questions, follow me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet, or just check the main page at ProWrestling.net. Until next time, thank you very much for listening. Take care.